Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a great start to your Monday out there. Let's kick things off the way we like to with our good friend, Brittany Merlot. Brittany, beautiful blue skies out there.
Oh my gosh, it's such a fantastic day today. Can't complain. Oh, I'm loving the start to the morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing good
it's
here.
It's a little cooler than I expected.
Is it? Yeah, the wind out of the north, too. It's a little breezy, kind of pulling that in this morning. But we will climb nice today. We're going to look at highs nearing 80 degrees. So summery once again, but not too humid.
That's good news because I got to mow my lawn.
maybe now. Now, hold on. Don't jump too fast. There is a chance for a few spotty showers this afternoon. It always tries to sneak in there, doesn't it? But this is the last day that it's going to sneak in there before this high-pressure system takes over for the rest of the week. We have an actually dry, calm, sunny week ahead of us, which I haven't said, I don't think, so far this summer.
That sounds like perfect weather for the fair in Marshfield.
Yes. Yeah. Fantastic timing for that.
It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a fun one, and we're going to have a fun start to the week here. Thanks, Brittany. We appreciate you. Have a great start to the day.
You as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Brittany. Best in the business right there from Brittany Merlot. We got some fun stuff lined up for you today, but I have to say, Melissa, does my microphone sound weird?
It doesn't sound weird to me, but I hear an echo of myself.
Yeah, I don't know. Let me see here if I can mess with that a little bit.
It's
that
not the usual echo. Oh, nope, that's worse.
That's worse. How is that?
I'm still hearing it. Is it on in the monitors in the room?
Let's see here. It shouldn't be. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, we'll figure it out. We'll keep moving. We're going to have some fun today because we got good things lined up for you, everybody. In a little bit, we'll have the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. Looking forward to that. A little afterwards, we're going to get into kids. Watch out. Adults got a new side hustle, and it might be cutting in on something you guys do. And 63% of people say that it's cool to snap photos of your food at a restaurant. We're going to talk about that.
If it looks good, sure.
Got the 9 o'clock hour starting off the way it should with the kitchens open. Looking forward to today's segment. Melissa and I are going to have some fun with that one. We'll get into a little bit of entertainment news as well, including some local things that are going on. And we are going to talk about the Marshfield Fair.
Yes, we are.
Cannot wait. It's going to be fun. All this coming up for you, but we kick things off with the day being National Potato Day.
Oh, hey. Potatoes are good.
It's a great day for potato lovers out there. A fresh poll for it looked at the top ways Americans like to eat potatoes. And yes, fries got the most votes.
Of course they did. French fries are amazing.
They really are. They really are. I don't know. There are certainly bad fries out there, but it's not the fries' fault. It's the way
usually
it was,
the cooking.
Yeah,
method.
It's the way it was cooked. The top ways we enjoy them are, of course, French fries, mashed potatoes, baked potatoes, and hash browns. Tater tots and potato salad for fifth. Potato salad's popularity is waning. Only 25% of Gen Zers picked it, compared to 60% of boomers.
Well, potato salad used to be like your go-to summer side dish.
I'm pretty sure up until at least 81 or 82, you couldn't have a picnic without a potato salad.
Of course not.
I don't believe it was legal for you to have a picnic without potato salad. Here are a few more French fries stats for National Potato Day. 29% of us order fast food fries weekly, and 62% said at least once a month. Just 16% said that they rarely ever eat them.
Wow.
That's a really small percentage.
Yeah, but those people are probably the health conscious.
Good on them.
Us.
Good on them. McDonald's fries are still our favorite with 46% of the vote. Wendy's is a distant second at 16%, then Chick-fil-A and Burger King at 13%.
Yeah, Burger King is down there because they changed their recipe and they're just not as good anymore.
I don't know what these businesses think when they do this. I don't know why you mess with things that work.
Well, some of it may have been because they weren't, as healthy as they could be. That's probably why they tasted better.
I maintain what I said. I don't know why these businesses do what they do. If you're Burger King, are you, really? You're going to work? I mean, okay. All right. You want to worry about health consciousness? Okay. See how that does with your sales. You got to be. Everybody's got to be smarter, certainly. And I encourage people to be health conscious of these things. But if you are going to Burger King, chances are you're not as worried
you're
about
going
it as
there
some.
For junk food. You're not going there for a healthy meal.
Yeah. Our favorite French fry cuts in order are regular fries, curly fries, thick-cut fries, waffle fries, and crinkle-cut fries are fifth.
Why are those fifth? Those are the best.
They are the best. I'm with you. I'm 100% with you on that one. Yeah, the curly fries have never really done much for me either.
Well, the problem with curly fries is that they often aren't. They're like a half moon. They're not an actual curl.
Yeah. And waffle fries, I don't know if it's just the way I've had them or whatever, but I've had so many where they don't all the way cook.
Oh.
Is there many things worse? There is, by the way. Are there many things worse than diving into a fry that is not cooked?
In the middle, yeah.
I hate it. Just happened the other day to us. Making dinner for making burgers for my dad, folks, and everything. I did. That was my fault, though. I put them on the wrong oven. You know, certain oven. You learn your oven after a while, and some stuff just cooks better on the top rack, and some on the second rack. And I put it on the top rack. That was on me. It's not the fry's fault. Ketchup is still the most popular dipping sauce. People were asked to pick more than one. 74% said that they use ketchup. Ranch is next with 29%. Cheese sauce at 26, barbecue at 21, and mayonnaise at 18.
Oh, they're missing out on the Thousand Island dressing. That is really good with fries.
My mom likes that one. And I see more people doing the mayonnaise thing.
Yeah, we used to mix mayonnaise and ketchup a lot. Like in the school cafeteria, so you could make a new sauce.
Yes.
Because your options were mayonnaise and ketchup, mustard.
You do what you got to do. I want to get into this one with you. Please feel free to call up and let us know what your favorite fries are, everybody. 715-424-2600. Or if you have a different type of potato thing you want to bring up, go right ahead.
Culver's fries are pretty top-notch, in my opinion. You know, if I had to choose a fast food fry, I would probably choose Culver's.
Culver's is a mainstay. Got no problem with them. Those are a really good one. I will say a sneaky great fry, if you're looking for one, Checkers.
Yeah, they put a special seasoning on their fries.
Yeah, they do.
I think it's got dairy in it.
I'm sorry. Yeah, but they are really, really
they
good.
They taste really good.
They really are. Call up and let us know, everybody. Love to hear from you. And, of course, we had this topic going on last week, Seth and I, and I wanted to bring it to you as well, Melissa, and we'll keep it going throughout the day today as we hang out with you until 10 o'clock today. Feel free to call up and let us know, what is a TV workplace you would like to work at? A TV workplace you would like to work at. Laura had a good reference to the bar in Star Trek. And I can't think of the name of it. There's a bar in Star Trek. I'm sure she's yelling at her radio right now, or she'll yell it at me later. But yes, I thought that was a good reference. That was a good one. Mm-hmm. I did not mention this last week, but I think if we're talking bars, Cheers, of course, would be a good one. A night court, the night scene in the court judicial system. It's interesting. It seems interesting.
The Enterprise Bar?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it was called the Enterprise Bar, but...
Well, that's one result that I got searching for it. So, Laura, you'll have to correct us.
Yep, I have no doubt she was. I'd love to hear from you guys.
I'm having a hard time thinking of workplaces in shows.
Yeah. It's not as easy as we might think, especially once you get rid of some of the bigger ones.
Well, because a lot of times you're watching a TV show, it's not about a workplace. It's just kind of about people's lives. I mean, people in the shows have jobs, but...
No, but I think that's actually a really good point, Melissa, because that's something that we not only don't see much of, but we're seeing less and less of as we go forward here. Let's take a phone call. Good morning. Who could it possibly be?
It's me. Hi, Sarah. It's called 10 Forward. It's a bar. It's called 10 Forward.
10 Forward. 10 Forward. Okay.
10 right. Forward. Yeah, that was the next one that
and
came up on the...
And that's where I want to work. That's my dream workplace from a work of fiction.
Nice. You can't change my mind.
It's a good choice.
I wouldn't try.
It's a good choice. I will
mostly because I have no interest in working on engineering, even though I'm sure Jordy LaForge is spectacular as a work partner.
Well, you'd definitely have somebody great to work with over there at that bar, if I got it right. They got a famous bartender over there.
Guinan. Yeah, Guinan. That would be Whoopi Goldberg. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yeah. Get to work with Whoopi Goldberg. That seems all right to me. That seems like a pretty good fit. Thank you, Laura. We appreciate it.
I'll be there in a minute. Bye.
See you soon. I would say similar to us, but not necessarily in the same realm, same medium, the workplace at Murphy Brown, where she worked on a TV show. That seemed like a fun place to work, too.
So yeah, that'd be cool.
There are no bad answers. There are no bad options, everybody. Feel free to call up and let us know what TV workplace you would like to work at. 715-424-2600. Just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app. And keep that in mind, because when we come back with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club, we'd love to hear your birthdays live on the air.
Mm-hmm. There's a special one today.
Feel free to call up and join the conversation, everybody. 715-424-2600. We'll be back with more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. It's time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe. We encourage you to treat yourself. Head on over to El Cafe and get some great food, some great atmosphere, and wonderful people.
Just wait till tomorrow, because they're not open today.
Yep. Keep that in mind, everybody. They are not open today. You want to head on over there tomorrow and get when they open their doors. 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Have a great day from all of their friends over at El Cafe. And also want you to get us your birthdays and anniversaries. Send them to info@WFHR.com, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. You can direct message us on our Facebook pages as well. Keep that in mind and call up and join the conversation.
Right. You can call and wish your happy birthday live on air, 715-424-2600.
Call up. Join us, everybody. We'd love to hear from you. Melissa, I need a one or a two.
One.
All right. Gives us that qualifier. And let's go ahead and dive right into the birthdays and anniversaries for today. We kick off with a very special one around here, Mr. Seth Habhager.
That's right. Happy birthday, Seth.
Enjoy your day, sir.
Wish you a happy day. Sorry, what? I said nice things. I said nice things about Seth.
We appreciate you, Seth. We definitely appreciate you around here, and hoping that you have a great one out there. One of the better people I have met. Enjoy your day, Seth. Have a great one.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Don't tell him I said it.
Oh, no, it's just between us. Don't worry about it.
Okay, good.
Enjoy your day, Seth. Hope it's a good one for you. We'll see you later this week. Mm-hmm. We also wish a very happy birthday to our friend, Jacinda Fenske.
Happy birthday, Jacinda.
Enjoy your day, Jacinda. Longtime listener. We appreciate her. Thank you for listening, Jacinda. Enjoy your day. And our qualifier today, Wilbur Ott.
Happy birthday, Wilbur.
Enjoy your day, sir. Hope it's a good one for you. Have a great one, Wilbur. Enjoy. And thanks so much to everybody who got us these birthdays and anniversaries. Keep coming, everybody.
Yeah.
Love
to celebrate with you.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at our celebrity list here, and let's see. Oh boy, it's a thin list here. Fat Joe is 54, longtime hip-hop artist.
Oh, okay. That's why I don't know him.
We go from Fat Joe to Leanne Womack, who is 58 today.
Very different worlds of music.
Oh, yeah. We played her over on the Sunrise Show today from 7 to 8. Be sure to join us Monday through Friday on 105.5. I Hope You Dance is her second biggest hit. Her daughter, country singer Audrey Sellers, is her biggest. That's according to Leanne. That's not me. That's according to Leanne Womack.
Yeah, she's got some great songs, though. I May Hate Myself in the Morning. Mm. I'll Think of Reasons Later.
Mm. Oh, good names. Good titles.
Right?
That song, I Hope You Dance, is hard not to like.
It's a good song.
That's a good song. Kira Sedgwick is 59. The Deputy Chief Brenda on The Closer. She is, of course, a long time married to Kevin Bacon. Good actor, Kira Sedgwick.
Mm-hmm. And she's been in a lot of The Summer I Turned Pretty.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a TV show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's got a great career, a great IMDb pitch. Kevin Dillon is 59, Matt Dillon's younger brother. He was on Entourage and a couple of other things. And John Stamos is 61. Uncle Jesse on Fuller House.
Wow, 61.
Yeah. Long-time career. Stamos was in, I know he did he play drums for the Beach Boys or something like that? I remember he did something with the Beach Boys. Can't remember what it was. I think it was drums. I think he played drums.
I am not seeing it on here, but it could be.
Peter Gallagher is 69 with him and his wonderful eyebrows. Peter Gallagher has got some heavy eyebrows. I often think he's not really surprised. He's just trying to keep his eyebrows from, like, keep them up. Like, they're just heavy.
They're impressive.
Yeah, those are
they definitely add a lot of character to his face. Not everybody could pull off those eyebrows, but Peter, you do it well.
He does. He does. He had a long, great career, too. Mm. Done some great work throughout his career. Let's see here. John Deacon is 73, bassist for Queen. Man, not only a great bassist and everything, but I maintain you can find a better bass line than Another One Bites the Dust. that bass line is eternal.
Well, and if you recognize it as soon as you start hearing it, it's, oh, yep, know what this song is.
No, right away, yeah. There's certain, not a lot of songs can do that, but definitely one of those songs and definitely one of those artists in John Deacon.
That one and Blue Bayou.
Oh, good one. Good reference, yeah. Billy Clinton is 78.
Billy Clinton.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton, like as in the president?
Yeah, no. Yeah, Bill Clinton. Someone I don't know why it said Billy Clinton.
It's a little weird, okay.
You know what? Billy Clinton runs for president? Don't think it happens. Don't think it happens. I'm sorry. I'm not sure that happens. Bill Clinton, though? Oh, sure. Why not? William Clinton? Yeah, I could see that. Maybe. Billy Clinton?
Alternate universe. He was the 42nd president from 93 to 2001.
Yes. And really came out of nowhere. But I think it's
kind Arkansas of... Arkansas is not nowhere, but kind
of. Came out of nowhere as far as getting the nomination. There was nobody who saw him as even a possible, Democratic nominee. They thought that maybe later in his career he might have an opportunity to, but he kept on trying at it on the campaign trail. He does the Arsenio Hall show, plays saxophone on there, and hit a whole different age range because. People might forget this, and there is a lot you can say about any president on good and bad. But Bill Clinton was one of the first presidents that actually, instead of like, hey, young people, we want your vote, and then never reaching out to young people or going to where they were, Bill Clinton went on MTV. Bill Clinton went on the Arsenio Hall show, and he did some of these things even when he was president. Whether you like him, you dislike him or not, that is a key that every single politician has done ever since in order to try to reach young voters. Voting politics isn't that much different than marketing, that coveted 18 to 34 demo you want more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Ian Gillan, is 79, Deep Purple's lead singer.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, he was also in the original cast of Jesus Christ Superstar.
Really?
He was Jesus in the original Jesus Christ Superstar.
Good for him.
Some people no longer with us, like Johnny Nash. I can see clearly now the rain is gone.
Good song.
Yeah, it's a good one. Let's see here. Fred Dalton Thompson, born on this day in 1942. Senator turned actor. He was D.A. Arthur Branch on Law and Order for a long time. He was really good on that show. He was really good.
Couldn't make it in politics, so go to acting.
Went to acting. All right.
So why do we have things going the other way now?
Right. Yeah, this is going the wrong way. Because I'll tell you right now, everybody, as a proud Screen Actor Guild member, as somebody who has considered himself an actor since I was 7 years old, I don't think any actor should probably be doing that unless it's an acting job. really any entertainment personality for that matter. Let's just go ahead and throw that out there. Mm-hmm. Matthew Perry would have been 55 today, born in 1969, just passed away last year. Certainly a lot about him in the news right now. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in that, you can read on it yourself. I'm not touching on it. Yeah. I would talk about it if you want to, Melissa, but I'm not. I personally feel like that's just low hanging fruit, and I feel for his family and his loved ones that still have to hear about this stuff. It's one thing to lose somebody, and then to have these stories keep coming up in the news just because people like low hanging fruit and they want to chase stories. They go, ooh, "What's this? What's this?" And, there's very rarely anything on the end of that is worth anything.
Only thing that I would say is, If you're struggling, reach out and get help.
Mm-hmm.
Because help is out there.
Interesting that Laura brought up Star Trek earlier. Gene Roddenberry would have been celebrating a birthday today, born in 1921, passed away in 91, Star Trek creator. Also born on this day, Jonathan Franks is 72, Commander Riker on that show, the Riker move, known as the Riker move. You got to, that's where you put your leg over the chair to sit down. Diane Mulder, Dr. Pulaski on Star Trek Next Generation, also celebrating a birthday today. Got a lot of them. And then some people no longer with us, continuing with that. Sorry, I didn't see those earlier today. Oliver Wright would have been celebrating a birthday, certainly. One of our legendary creators of Flight. Half of that tag team.
Half of the Wright brother.
Yeah. Okay. And William Shoemaker, legendary jockey, born on this day in 1931. And that is going to do it for our birthday and anniversary list. Thank you so much to everybody that got us these birthdays and anniversaries. Keep them coming, everybody. We want more and more of these. We love celebrating with you. We'd love to have even more coming up tomorrow. Be sure to join us for another edition of the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. One more time, happy birthday to you, Seth.
Happy birthday, Seth.
Enjoy your day. Enjoy your time. We will see you soon. And happy birthday to Jacinda.
Happy birthday, Jacinda.
And our qualifier, Wilbur Ott.
Happy birthday, Wilbur. Congratulations.
Enjoy your day, everybody out there, and keep getting us those birthdays and anniversaries so we can celebrate with you right here. And when they open their doors again tomorrow, meet over our friends over at El Cafe at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards.
Apparently, they have really good potato salad.
I believe it. Go check it out, everybody, tomorrow. Tomorrow, check it out.
Tomorrow.
We'll be back after our local and state news and some sports, and we'll have some fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
I know a cat named Way Out Willie. He got a cool little chick named Rockin' Millie.
Melissa and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a good one out there, everybody. Thanks for kicking off your week with us. And this is for the kids, this one right here, this segment. This is for the kids out there.
Okay.
Or preteens. Or just younger people. If this isn't something that kind of tells you a little bit of the days that we're living in right now, Melissa, there is a new report in the Washington Post about how adults are creating lemonade stands to run as side hustles to pay off their student loan debt.
Oh, wow.
That is not an Onion headline, everybody. That is from the Washington Post. That is, it's funny to imagine 20 or 30-somethings taking a break from gig work and hawking lemonade to compete with their 8-year-olds down the street, but that's not quite what's happening. These, quote, lemonade stands are almost like food trucks, where the business owners are investing in equipment and menus that involve multiple different flavors, syrups, and styles of lemonade. And it's all priced in. Once the lemonade stands, they profiled, has, like some of them are charging like they do for coffees, like $8 or $7 for some of these.
Wow.
And they're all over the place. we may even be seeing them around here sometime soon.
Everybody loves a food truck, though.
And lots of people have student debt.
Yes.
So between the two of those, you know, you're gonna see people find a way to make it.
Yep.
Okay, we can move on. All right. We'll just go to something here. The most hotly debated aspect of restaurant culture, aside from tipping, of course, is cell phones. It's one thing to have your phone on the table for the whole meal at home, but not when you're out to eat. A lot of people don't necessarily like that. But what about when you see good food? The sight of the food? There's a new poll out on restaurant etiquette, and 80% of people said that your smartphone should be out of sight on a date. 54% said you shouldn't see it during a family gathering either, and 50% said you shouldn't have it out even with friends.
Well, having your phone out implies that you're really not paying attention to, you know, what's going on there in front of you. You are more interested in what's going on your phone. Mm-hmm. It's kind of rude.
If I have my phone out, it is out of my pocket and is face down. Mm-hmm. That is just the only way the best way to do it, to show the person that I am talking to that they have my complete attention.
Mm-hmm.
81% said it is appropriate to whip your phone out to get a photo of the person who you're eating with. 81% said it is appropriate. to do that. Okay, that definitely is higher than I would have expected that one.
Well, I mean, if you're out with someone and you're in, you know, having a meal and your food looks really good and it comes and you're like, let's get a picture quick. I'd say that's appropriate.
66. There's
nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. 66% say it's okay if you're getting an urgent call, but it would be best if you alerted the others at your table that you were expecting a call that you need to take. Because, yes, emergency calls, you can usually, you know, you can gauge that. Yeah, I'm about to get an emergency call, everybody.
Well, for instance, if you had a babysitter at home with your kids, I would say it's totally appropriate to have your phone out face up in case your babysitter calls.
And 63% say it's okay to take photos of the food, but it should be quick. Snap a photo when the plates arrive and then put your phone away again.
Yeah. No, come on. Just wait 10 minutes, everybody, while I get a picture of each plate. Because everybody's food looks amazing, but you should wait to eat it, you know, for 10 minutes while I get photos.
Excuse me, waiter. Could I get some more lighting over here? I'm not getting a good enough shot. If I could just get a little more lighting over here.
Can you just drag that lamp over here?
Actually, could you hold that lamp while I take this shot? Thank you. People in customer service aren't, you know, they're not too busy or anything. Mm-hmm. I got to say that I don't really... I do this as a joke, as a bit and everything on the air, but I really don't have an issue with this one. I really don't care one way or the other. And I also feel like this kind of died down a little bit once everybody, you know, when we first got cell phones, you saw a lot of this. I don't feel like you see as much of it. You still see it, but you don't see as much maybe. And honestly, I've never seen one that it bothers me, but I've never had food that I got, and if it looked that good, chances are I'm diving right into it. I'm diving into it too soon before I'm going to take a picture or anything.
Every once in a while, I will have something or I'll make something myself. Like, I'll make a meal, and I'll be like, oh, I want to share this with, you know, like my brother Mitchell. Like, yeah. I just need to take a picture and show this off. But I don't usually post it on my social media. I might share it to a specific person, but there's usually a reason.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel silly saying this out loud. If we were in private, I would have no problem asking you. could people take a picture of food because, hey, we need to make this?
Sure.
Okay. Because that feels like that. I actually had this wrong when people first started doing this. That's the whole reason I thought people were doing it. Like, oh, hey, you have to, you know, you have to try. We have to try to make this. I got to take a picture of it. And I'm going to try to mimic it or try to create something like it.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah. I mean, because just from a picture, usually you can kind of tell generally the contents of the food. And then if you've tasted it, you have a basic idea of what the, you know, flavor profile would be, so you could make the sauce or add the spices to make it taste that way.
I have a friend who's really into cooking, and he will take pictures of food, and what he's you can Google the images. And oftentimes find a recipe for that food, you know, certainly not fast food and everything. But, you know, I'm thinking of there was some kind of cake that like one of those lava cake things. And he took a picture of it and was able to find the ingredients of how to make it and everything.
Yeah, I was thinking like pasta dishes or stir fries. A baked good would be a whole lot harder to recreate from a photo.
Yeah, that's all.
Instead of making it look the way it looks.
Yeah, it didn't go well. It let me tell you, as the guy who had to try the cake afterwards, it was not very good, Will. It wasn't. Stick to comedy, man. Stick to comedy. If you're on a date, 68% of people believe that the person who initiated the date should pick up the check. But it's perfectly acceptable and considerate for the other person to offer to split the bill. And when it comes to splitting, the most popular way to do it is in the South is to have the server divvy it up based on each person's order. In the Northeast, most people prefer either to have the bill split evenly among all guests or just opt for the simplicity of one person paying and everyone else pays them back on Venmo or something like that.
I mean, it gets a little more complicated now that we don't carry cash around as much.
Yeah.
So having the server just split the bill seems to be the easiest, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. And the most, fair way. That's the way we've always done it, me and my friends. That part snuck in on me. I was just expecting to talk about taking pictures of food. I didn't see that part.
And a lot of times, you know, depending on who you're with, if you have a server that's paying attention, let's just say, the basics of the job, they'll often ask, do you want separate checks right away? And then there's no question later of how the bill is split.
Right on. Have you ever done this kind of work, Melissa? Serving?
Yeah. Mm. Yes.
I thought so.
I've been a waitress.
So. I was a waitress
at Ed Thompson's Teepee Supper Club in Toma years and years ago.
It feels like one of those things where the whole divvying up and some of those other details of the job just don't, I don't know, they don't seem like things that stuff you have to learn on the job kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you experience it as a customer too. Like you go to a meal with, oftentimes if it's a couple, you know, like two people, usually you don't ask if they want separate checks unless it's like two guys or two girls, which just seems, I don't know. It's an interesting thought process when you think of it that way.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, it is. Huh. We will get to a timeout, take care of our partners. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some high-heeled sneakers. That's what it looks like we're going to be talking about here. High-heeled sneakers. And we got the U.S. airport that forces you to walk the most miles between gates. Got those coming up for you, everybody. And plenty more. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning right here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. We are locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you now. We hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to take you right to the top of the hour, get you ready for the 9 o'clock. Keep in mind, 9 o'clock hour going to kick off the way it always does on Mondays with the kitchens open.
That's right. We got a fun topic today.
Just the two of us today. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Just the two of us.
It's going to be good. It's going to be a good one. Be sure to join us for that, everybody. A little entertainment news for you afterwards. And later in the 9 o'clock hour, Melissa and I are going to get into every country's favorite ice cream flavor.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That should be a fun one as we're trying to keep some last warm days of summer here and everything. Get some ice cream in you. There has been a lot of talk recently about how high heels are out. Apparently, I'm just learning this. I had no idea. I didn't know if they were in or out, to be honest with you. So mostly they're going out of style because women these days prefer fashion that is not as painful.
I've never enjoyed wearing high heels.
I have never. I had a role, my first big lead role, where I come out on stage in drag, and I had to do it in heels. And to this day, it is one of the top 10 hardest things I've had to do as an actor. I'm not even kidding. I don't have the greatest ankles to begin with. And after walking in those in my apartment and everything, I just trying to get, you know, my character walked in them all the time. So I had to look like I knew what I was doing.
Yeah, try to look natural.
Instead of trying to look like a giraffe trying to put on high heels, like, you know, shoes or any, I look like a fool in them. I could not walk in them for a long time. I do not know how anybody wears those. There was also a viral post about how high heels, quote, scream somebody that's trying too hard, that they don't look like they're comfortable, and it just makes them look out of place. Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx, has revealed a new shoe called Sneaks, S-N-E-E-X.
Okay.
They are high-heeled sneakers. She's been working on the concept for 9 years, and they will finally debut tomorrow.
Oh, and it's a store in Milwaukee?
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to a local business owner. Well, a Wisconsin business owner.
Wisconsin business. That's cool.
And speaking of cool, Melissa, these look kind of cool to me. I don't have to wear them, so that's easy for me to say. But just looking at the website and some of these, I don't know, they look like gym shoes that have heels.
Yeah, it's an interesting look. I can't say that I would probably buy them, but to each their own.
The website sneaks.com is up, and they are high-heeled sneakers made of leather, mesh, and suede. Unfortunately, the retail price ranges from around $395 to $595 per pair, and that's 100, everybody, $395, which means they're outside the range of impulse purchases, maybe unless you're a luxury buyer. Mm-hmm. Sarah was asked why she made Sneaks her next product, and she said, "Have you ever worn high heels?" It's a good response. Mm-hmm. I would have followed that up with, "Hey, Sarah, why didn't you make them affordable?"
Yeah, well, I mean, $500 is really expensive.
I don't know if that's a normal price for high heels or anything, but I know that, for me, in my realm, I have a lot of friends that are sneakerheads, and they collect sneakers. And a lot of the times, these involve Air Jordans, and they haven't even been released yet, and they're buying them, and they will spend like $450 on them or something like that. And they just sit in a little box, and they don't want to touch them and all this. I don't know. Teach their own. Everybody's, collectors are collectors. Mm. But that price, I thought, was wild. And these are shoes that they can resell them for like almost double the price and something like that. One of my friends that does this considers it like his retirement plan. That he's doing it for that reason. So actually,
well, hopefully they don't go the way of the Beanie Baby.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said. That's almost exactly what I said. That's the only catch with that stuff. My dad, thankfully for him, he's always collected cards because he likes them. There's a lot of people that during the pandemic that got back into collecting cards, but some of them did it mainly for the resale value. But that dipped down, and that isn't what it was. And I think you're absolutely right about that one. With these, I mean, as far as making I like the idea of trying to make something more, obviously feel better and more comfortable. Mm-hmm. That is a fashion thing. But I don't see that this really does that, just because it makes the base of the foot feel better. Or not the base, but around the foot it seems like making better. But the heel part doesn't seem to the same as it's always been.
It says they're designed with a widened toe box and more balanced weight distribution, which would help because, I mean, if you think about the traditional high-heeled shoe, usually they kind of have somewhat pointy toes, and so your body is angled down towards those toes, shoved into a point, which that has never struck me as comfortable.
Yeah.
Does it look kind of cool? Sure, maybe, kind of. But I don't know. I've always been far more focused on comfort than how it looks.
Right. Same here. Yeah.
For me personally, I don't find them appealing. They don't look like if I want a sneaker, I want a sneaker. I don't need a sneaker with a high heel.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think the whole point of the high heel part is when you're going for luxury more. You know, you're
fancy,
going for
fancy. I do believe firmly in spending money on shoes. Like I will invest in shoes. I will pay $100-$150 for a pair of shoes.
Agreed.
Because I want something well made that's going to last for a long time.
I do it because my feet make me. They're gigantic. They've always been size 12s. I was born with size 12 feet, basically. And absolutely. I'm with you on this one. It actually may be the one product that I do spend money on is shoes. The one I'll say, when I was a kid growing up, you had to buy one pair of shoes and that was it. They had to last you the year round, didn't matter what the weather was.
You probably weren't buying high heels.
No, didn't end up doing that. I did like to run and did like to be able to play sports, so Chuck Taylors and Adidas shoes were always usually the ones. Not as great during winter, but those were the ones that I usually went with. But I went with comfort. I would think that if you wanted to make... she just put so much time and money into this, and how much these cost. The thing about this to me is also, Melissa, there's so many established brands of shoes. And I don't even know what their most recent new shoe brand is. Skechers, Skechers. And Skechers have been around for 30, 40 years. So if you're going to try to get into the shoe game, good luck. Because if this does sell well, this is the other thing she has to deal with. If this does well, guess who's going to notice? Nike, Adidas, Doc Martens. They're going to just do the same thing that they did with the hard seltzer thing. As soon as White Claw blew up, what happened?
Everybody's making it.
Melissa and I even have a seltzer. We didn't even know. We didn't even know we do. That's how many of them there are out there. I don't remember us signing for that, by the way. I don't remember us okaying that. I don't know how that happened.
And I have yet to see a check.
Not one penny.
But the thing is, Sarah Blakely is a billionaire, so she can do whatever she wants.
Okay, I had no idea who she was. Okay.
Yeah. She created Spanx.
Oh, yeah. Just said
which
that, yeah.
Which is a shapewear brand. So that has, I mean, the sales of that, are everybody buys Spanx.
So she's got that going for her.
Yeah, she's got plenty of money to play and do whatever she wants. Doesn't matter. But I think that, and there, to be fair, I did want to make this point. There are women who prefer wearing high heels. It's, they find them comfortable.
Absolutely.
It has to do with, you know, weight distribution and how they walk and how, because every body is different. So there are women out there who prefer wearing high heels, and more power to them. I am not one of those women.
No, I had a girlfriend that was on the taller side, and she said that heels, she was just really comfortable in them. And the way that she moved in them, like running and everything, seemed like it. So, yeah, it's a good point. We wanted to mention the Marshfield Fair going on.
Yeah.
You might have heard this. I'm sure you've heard people talking about this, and you might have heard it in Melissa's news break there, talking, referencing it. We're going to be hanging
up on Tuesday.
Yeah, we're going to be hanging out there tomorrow. Well,
that's right.
Yeah, we both are. No, we both are. Yeah.
Yep. I'll get there in the afternoon after you had to have to head out. Jorge is coming out from Madison to get us all set up with the Truth Booth. So you can come down and share your thoughts with us on pretty much anything.
Yep. It's another opportunity for us to interact with us, to get your feedback, not only on our stations, maybe get you signed up for our newsletter, and have some fun, maybe pick up some merch.
Spin the wheel.
Yes, yes. It's another opportunity for us to be out there with all of you and hanging out with the public, and we're looking forward to be able to do that. Looking forward to some other great things going on, not only today, but the whole week, really, with the Marshfield Fair. Be sure to check this out, everybody. Today going on over there, they got that 70s band from 3 to 5 on their music stage. They'll also have the Mother Funk band going from 6 to 9. And I just wanted to say that on the air. I just wanted to be able to say that. But.
Well, I want to see the Dress a Cow contest that happens on Tuesday. That's at 7 p.m.
Yeah, that's going to be good. That's going to be fun. That's going to be a good one. I'm just looking at that right now, Melissa. Yes, that does look like a blast.
They've had a full lineup of really great events going on all week long there between their grandstand and the family entertainment tent. And then, of course, you know, all the animals that kids have been raising and working with to get them ready for the fair. That's a fun part, is just to see all the exhibits and all these things kids have worked on all you know, season long to get ready for this.
Yeah, this is and this is one of the more signature events in the area, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a lot of fun, everybody. We encourage you to check it out. We will meet you there and get ready to have a blast. It's going to be a really fun event. Get ready, everybody, tomorrow. It's going to be a fun.
We're in the main building this year, too.
Yeah, yeah. We're in the main. Yes, that's right. We are in the main building. I almost forgot about that. Go to centralwisconsinstatefair.com to find out more.
Yeah, you can find their entertainment guide there. It's like 31 pages long, so they've got everything listed in there.
I was going to say, we've got like a minute left before the top of the hour as I pulled that up, and I was about ready to dive into it. again, centralwisconsinstatefair.com, everybody. Check out that entertainment guide to see more, and we will meet you there. We are looking forward to it. Be sure to follow this on social media as well. It's a great way to keep up to date on things. And when we talk about these fairs, not only this year, but next summer as well, attend them as much as you can. This is not only a great way to support local, but to support a lot of our vendors and a lot of our nonprofits out there that tend to make a big, almost a name for themselves sometimes at these events. Thanks to all of you out there. We're looking forward to it. We'll meet you there. We'll have more on this tomorrow, if not later today. We'll see.
We'll be talking about it all week.
We really are. We're going to be talking about this a lot because we're going to be down there a lot, and we're looking forward to meeting you all down there. We'll get to our next. We'll get to our timeout here. We'll come back with the kitchens open to kick off the 9 o'clock hour here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is locally grown radio,
WFHR.